This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
The aftermath of every social revolution brings about change. Cultural norms and landmarks shift as our minds and hearts expand beyond the familiar. To everything, there is a season and a time to every purpose in the land of the living. This is our time to renew, revive, and restore the hope lost to the busyness of life. This is our time to dig again and rebuild from the storms of our past on a solid footing that holds. Welcome to The Foundation.
The Foundation.
The Foundation of Hearts Grant is brought to you by Alive, Commonwealth Bank, Divinia Grove Foods, Mobile Garage Technologies, the National Insurance Board, and Popeyes.
The Foundation. Foundation.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. 96.9 FM radio. Howard Grant in your company with the Foundation. It's an absolutely beautiful day. It's a Wednesday. It's not wet today. I hope you're out there having a good time and being able to move in the direction that you need to be able to move in. I want to let you know that this is a beautiful day today, and I'm so excited to be able to have you. As promised, we made some commitments to some persons to talk about what we started to talk about last week, Thursday. Last week, Thursday, we had Nicola all the way from being able to Skype in, Zoom in, and had a good conversation with us, Nicole McLaren Campbell, and telling us about something that she had going on with the AIM Online Academy here in Nassau. It's called 2023 College Admission Info Session, right? We have Nicole with us today again on AIM. I'm on Zoom, to be able to talk to us about what you guys are going to be doing this evening. I'm so excited about this stuff. All you guys out there, parents, if you're listening, please stay tuned in. Nicole, you with us? She's with us?
I am right here.
You're right here.
And thank you for having me.
Absolutely. It's so wonderful to have you with us. Tell us a little bit about what you're going to be doing this evening at 6:30 p.m. March 22nd over at the St. Andrews International School.
Over at the St. Andrews International School this evening, yes. We're having a public information session, and we're going to be talking to parents and students about SAT prep, the digital SAT, all of the changes in the whole college admissions, financial aid, scholarship process for schools all over the world. There have been a lot of changes since COVID. And so we just want to shed light to help parents understand that there's a system to success and break down that system so that everyone can feel, can leave feeling like, okay, they know what their next steps are, and if they're engaging and wanting to study overseas, they know, you know, what they'll need to do to be successful in getting in and getting scholarships. Mm-hmm. So that is our goal.
Last week, we talked more specifically about how to create a strong application. You talked about those things. Yes. You're going to be focusing on that today. You talked about new trends and changes since COVID-19. You talked about the global scholarships and finance aid. You talked about new digital SATs. Now, so talk to us about that, because a lot of persons out there sort of coasting and casual in their approach to doing these things. We, as a Caribbean people, you started to tell us last week how you've been to so many Caribbean nations. You are authentically Caribbean. So we like that. So you know that as a Caribbean person, we tend to be a little bit last minute.
We do. We tend to be last minute. Yes. And I mean, while that might be fine for an event that you're going to, or I hope that's not the case for our info session this evening. Yes. I hope everyone is there at 6:30. But you know, the consequence of being last minute for many things aren't permanent, and certainly not hugely expensive. The consequences for being last minute when it comes to college applications and preparation. The consequences are thousands, hundreds of thousands of dollars in missed opportunities, missed scholarships, and having to now, you know, shell out that money. It's also, you know, last minute, you can't build your top SAT score last minute. Our students who maximize their score, it's about 15 months end to end from when they start to when they are able to super score that SAT over multiple sittings. They're only offered certain times of the year. Applications to stand the best chance of, you know, success. Applications have to be in a year prior to enrollment. So if you are starting college in 2024, our parents and students tend to think, oh, I don't have to worry about that right now because, you know, oh, we're only in the early part of 23. I'm not going to college till next fall. Well, they don't realize that for many scholarships, that deadline is this October 15th, you know. So, and then, you know, preparing in terms of having the most competitive application and the things to actually put in the application. That's another, you know, 15 to 24 months of preparation, both on the academic SAT side as well as the extracurricular side. Mm-hmm. So really and truly, it's an easy way for you to know when you should really be deep in prep is you subtract 2 years, Howard, from when you plan to start college. And that is when you need to be like making serious moves and have monthly goals so that you can build up to success.
Wow.
I mean, you know, let's face it, college can cost between $120,000 on the very low end, all the way up to over $300,000 on the more expensive private school end. And so this is not something that you really want to leave to last.
This is a major investment.
It's just too expensive.
Yeah, it's a major investment.
It's a major investment.
Yeah.
But if you prepare properly, you don't have to spend that money.
Okay, well, ladies and gentlemen, just make sure if you're listening in and you want your children, I know you've been having these kind of a casual conversation about, child, baby, what you going to do when you finish with school? Let's get serious about these things. I think these conversations needed to happen all the way from the ninth grade. Based upon what you're saying to us, Nicole, this conversation should have been had long time, and there should have been significant steps towards being able to get that done. But don't dismay. Though we are a last-minute people, we want to be able to ensure that our kids get the absolute best education they can in preparation for their future. And we know that it's not too late for you to be able to register online today. AIMOnlineAcademy.com/Bahamas. AIMOnlineAcademy.com/Bahamas. You can be able to find out more information this evening over at the St. Andrews International School. They're live and in person. Nicole will be there 6:30 p.m. Wednesday. That's this evening, 22nd, 2023, to find out more about college admission and info session. Anything else you want to be able to say to kind of let the persons know what to expect when they get there this evening?
I would just say bring your notepad. Make sure you're armed with a pen and just get ready to really start creating your plan to help your child to maximize his or her potential. I think as parents, I have a stepdaughter who's in the class of 2024. So she's starting college in 2024. So I'm feeling this thing from a parent side. I'm feeling this thing as a, you know, college prep consultant. And so, you know, on both ends, it's just about being armed one step at a time, so you optimize your results. And really, we just want the best for our kids. That's what we want at the end of the day. And the Caribbean is unmatched in terms of talent and just the genius that resides here. So we should do everything we can to unleash that into the world.
Nicole, you make me smile just now. I said to myself, there's a saying that we have here in the country, you have to be old people children. Why I say that is because you said bring your notepad. I mean, like, come on, Nicole, you know everyone should have a telephone now to be able to...
No. I think everybody should just have a specialized college planning book, and that's the only thing that goes
I like
here.
What you did
we
there.
Know digital, look, Howard, we know how digital clutter works.
Yes.
I'm suggesting the old school style.
No. I like that. I like what you did. Guys, for more tips and insight of how to be able to really prepare your mind and be able to get rid of the clutter, please check them out this evening. They're going to be over there at the St. Andrews School this evening at 6:30 p.m. You can be able to meet Nicole McLaren Campbell in person. She is the natural Caribbean queen, so she can be able to tell you exactly what's what. 2023 college admission information session this evening is going to be there. It's absolutely free to get in, but you have to register. It's aimonlineacademy.com /Bahamas. Now, let me ask you this last thing before you go to call. What about those persons who are extremely last minute, didn't register, and they want to be able to show up at the door? Is there a way that you can accommodate those persons?
Yes, we I think we should still be able to accommodate those people because the hall we're using is pretty large.
Okay.
So we will be able to accommodate. But of course, you know, preference will go to those who have registered. Yes. So
okay.
I would suggest registering for sure.
Nicole, thank you so very kindly. She's here, ladies and gentlemen. This is the AIM Online Academy. One more last time.
Oh, Howard.
Go ahead.
One last thing.
Go ahead.
You mentioned the registration, and I want to just reiterate that registering allows us to send you a free assessment. So what we've done is everybody who has registered so far has gotten a free assessment where normally we would charge for it, but everybody who registers can fill out a pretty detailed questionnaire, and then we can tell them what the best fit program at AIM is for them, as well as like give them feedback back on what the profile looks like. So if you want to get some free feedback from experts who have been doing this for 13 years, then you certainly should register.
Definitely know Caribbean people. From you hit free, everybody else went up free. Hold on, wait. They want to find out more about it. Guys, please register aimonlineacademy.com/Bahamas. You can be able to do that, like we said, 6:30 this evening after you pick up the kids, after their soccer practice, after whatever they're going to be doing. Please come down, find out more about and get excited about the next steps that we're going to be able to make. Nicole McLaren Campbell's with us. Nicole, thank you so much. Welcome to the Bahamas again. I know that you're here somewhere. I know you're probably busy. You probably gonna have some Bahama mamas a little bit later, but enjoy yourself. Have a good time.
Thank you.
And a lot of persons. Wonderful. I want persons to be able to come down there, and hopefully you can be able to stop by the studio and have some good conversations with us about more or what can happen going forward.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
That's no problem, Nicole. Ladies and gentlemen, Nicole McLaren Campbell, she's with the AIM Online Academy. Please be a part of that. Get there this evening, 6:30 p.m. If you want more information, you can be able to hit me up and I can be able to send the flyer to you so you can do that, 827-0111, just to be able to get the information out there. Guys, I got a great show for you, 96.9 FM radio. I'm going to take this quick commercial break and be right back after this.
The Foundation. Foundation.
The Foundation. We'll be back right after this.
The Foundation. The Foundation.
Tired of banks forcing you to use technology to bank the way they want you to? Your convenience is important. So no matter what your banking needs, Commonwealth Bank's friendly staff are always available in branch for that personal one-on-one service. But when you choose technology, our online and mobile banking app offers you state-of-the-art functionality. The choice is yours. Commonwealth Bank. Bank the way you want.
Devania's Grills, Food, and Products are now open in the Kenneth Plaza, Prince Charles Drive. Come, you must try the jerk chicken, jerk pork, and all their amazing grilled food. Grilled daily to perfection using all their amazing sauces made right here in the Bahamas. Devania's, grilling good food for life. Call or WhatsApp Devania's today at 817-4468.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Foundation. The Foundation. The Foundation. The Foundation. The Foundation. The Foundation.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen, 96.9 FM radio. Howard Grant in your company on this beautiful Wednesday. It's a hump day. It's a transitional period for us in the week. as we get ourselves prepared for the weekend and look back at the week that was in terms of the beginning of the week, which is a Monday. And you know, on a Wednesday, I always like to be able to have a conversation with a panel or engage with persons that want to be able to give us a unique perspective or position as what's happening here locally, that's been happening things nationally or otherwise. And today I want to be able to introduce you to someone that I don't think he really needs any introduction. We had a conversation some time back. He says, Howard, listen, I'd love to be able to come on. I have something that I want to be able to speak to from my heart. I have something that I want to be able to talk to the nation about, something that I carried. And this morning I got a book. Let me read the back for you, right? It says, the moving story, realistically told, is filled with pain and promise, tribulations and triumph, revealing through its pages how faith, love, and courage strengthened the family throughout this difficult period. And then it starts to talk about, this book is the true story of LaToya, who, at the tender age of 7, was stricken with cancer. Ladies and gentlemen, this is someone I think the entire country knows. And I believe that we've become very good friends. He's giving me some insight, and I love the way that he's being able to talk about some things and his impassioned position about it. I want to introduce you or reintroduce you to none other than Anthony Johnson. Anthony, say good afternoon to the Bahamian people, man. What's happening with you?
Good afternoon, my beautiful Bahamian people. I love you folks so much.
So put the mic closer to your mouth. It's a wonderful thing to have you in the studio with us today, my brother. You're here, you're prepared, and as I read the story and as I read these particular things, I am kind of taken back to see that you still have this kind of a glow about you, to know that even though you wrote this book about LaToya, that you had an additional sort of a passing away in the family to the result of the exact same thing, this stricken with cancer. Talk to me about these things.
Yes, LaToya, you know, I had two kids stricken with cancer. LaToya, she was 7 years old. And Adam, after 2 years of treatment of LaToya, we came back to the Bahamas to try and resume a normal life. He was at the time five, almost 6 years old. And about to step into his primary school, he complained to my wife that his hands were hurting him. She, you know, very cautious. She took him to the doctor and discovered that he had the same exact cancer in his arm as his sister did, in the exact same place where they were vaccinated. But Adam died. He went through all level of schooling, primary, junior high, senior high school, junior college, and university. In 2017, in fact, on the 4th of December of 2017, he was a little ill before that time, but he went into a coma. He died on the 9th of December of 2017.
So the cancer was in remission?
Yes, but it came back in different location. You know, being so small, so young, and you know, young kids, you know, sometimes the cancer recurs in other parts of the body. And, you know, it was in his, in his lungs, actually. The doctor found a tumor in his lung, and it spread, and that's what happened.
How was that? I mean, I read the caption of your book, so the synopsis, and I see it speaking to a father's strength and his love. But I want to know about how that is. I mean, because you were doing well. The entire country knows you from the Broadcasting Corporation of the Bahamas. You're an executive branch or sort of leadership role as it relates to sales and marketing and whatnot. So the country knows you. Your name, if they don't know your face, they know your name. Anthony Johnson is one of the names that they know. So this strength that you carry, this kind of social persona, how in your quiet times, how did that work to know that your family, this family that you're building, that you're pouring into, that you're praying over, has lost their fight, their position to cancer? Talk to me about it.
Well, my wife, I must say, I'm grateful to God, firstly. I'm grateful to him for everything. My wife, Jennifer, she's one of a kind. She is, I can't really explain her worth, her value. She's an incredible lady, an incredible woman.
And you're saying that just because we're on the radio?
No. I couldn't. In fact, how could I? I couldn't survive as a person, or the family couldn't survive without her. She just learned everything. She became a nurse a doctor, a teacher, I mean, a mom, everything to children, to the family. But what happened is that, you know, those are my kids. I am the father. It's my responsibility. I can't expect for other people to take care of my responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
I am not going to run for myself. Why would I run for me? My family is me.
Mm-hmm.
I created the family.
Mm-hmm.
I'm supposed to be there through thick and thin to make mm-hmm. certain. I say, if we fall, if we'll fall together,
mm-hmm.
we will fall together. But I was not going to leave my family or there to suffer. No. Yes, I was doing okay financially. I was. I was young, very young, doing very well. You know, I was one of what they were called, you know, a pay set at the corporation. I was doing exceptionally well. I was one of the only person, I don't know if there's any after, but I was one of those guys who bought advertising from the United States and from other Caribbean places to the Bahamas. In fact, my face was seen in many of those commercials. I pulled myself away because too many people, when I came here, I met too many messages at my desk on my telephone. They were asking me so many things about the different places in the States. And, you know, it was so much for me to deal with that and my family, because I was moving too much, sometimes three times a week. And my life was the United States, the airline,
and we're in Florida,
and the Bahamas.
Right in South Florida, or did you?
Right in Florida, right in Florida.
South Florida?
In Hollywood, Florida.
In Hollywood, okay.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
But no, I would say my strength. Could I go back and say something?
Go ahead.
When I was a child, a baby, of only about, I would say, 6 months, almost 7 months years old.
Mm-hmm.
Months old.
Mm-hmm.
I had just started to creep. My mom took me to the farm with her, a little baby. And I was asleep. Now, there is a little in the field on the farm. We call it field on the island. There's a hole in the rock where water settles in when it rains.
Mm-hmm.
That's where those folks would get water to drink and to cook with. Well, my mom, I was asleep, and she wanted to relieve herself. I was a distance from the world, and she knew that I wasn't strong enough to go so far, even though I'd waken. But she went to relieve herself, and when she came back after a short while, she saw that I was missing. She panicked. She didn't know what to do. And she just moved all around, but she suddenly thought of this little well, and she rushed to the well, or what we call a cistern, and she found me afloat in the well. I was
trapped. What are you doing to me today? This is wild. I can't take this.
So she pitched in the well and she fetched me.
You got to let me know what we talk about before we come on the radio, because this is a lot.
Yes. And she was so bewildered. She was shaken and broken, so she didn't know what to do. Her baby is dead. So she put me across her lap and she just prayed. And she said after a while, she saw the water came gushing out of my mouth. And I started to breathe again. My mother never told me the story until I was 21 when I went back to the island to visit her. She said, I have something to tell you. I didn't know what it was. She said, I want you to listen to me carefully. My mom would always call me a special child, but I didn't know why. Then she sat me down and she told me the story. So what happened is that, yes, I was given the opportunity, yes, to work with the Broadcasting Corporation of the Bahamas. I was a police as well, but I don't like working nights. So I used to carry my blanket to and sleep.
Really? Yeah.
I was in a young place, but I went there when I was 17 and a half years old. I stayed there for 2 years. I shouldn't. I was young and I was naive, but I broke my contract. Mr. Commissioner of Police, please, y'all don't have it against me.
Forgive me.
Yeah, please forgive me. I was young then. And I went to the States, and I was there for 2.5 years. And I came back, and I went to the Broadcasting Corporation of the Bahamas. But, you know, I worked Shogun. Kelsey, Mr. Johnson, was the general manager at the time. And he thought that I was so young, I couldn't handle that big job, because Shogun was one of the biggest events in the history of this country. All the Commonwealth heads of government, they came to the Bahamas, including the Queen. She was the host of all of that. So after everything was completed, I told him, I can't handle it. I did, I believe, a fairly good job. And the general manager, Mr. Kelsey Johnson, he called me in his office and said, Anthony, I want you to go to Canada for 2 years. I want you to become a latent expert and an audio expert so that you can deal with all the major movies and all the major rock concerts or whatever you have in the professional concert we have in the country. You'll be the person to deal with that. But I declined that. And Ed Bethel, I was told that he died a few days ago.
He just died. Yeah.
He called me also in his office and he said, Anthony, he said, we want you to go to New York for 2 years. He said, say you have the face of a general. We want you to be the anchor for ZNS-TV13. At the time, I declined that. I said, no, I want to go in the marketing department. And they let me say, Anthony, okay, well, and I went there. And honestly, I believe I excelled to be maybe one of the best they've ever had at the corporation. I don't know. I'm not bragging about myself. But I made a mark that a lot of things that people see, all the churches and all of some different things that people see, all the things that happen from other countries into, yes, I'm one of those guys that helped in those areas. And I worked with Dr. Miles Monroe through this time. Really? Dr. Miles, he was my good friend.
Really?
He was my good friend. I did all of them, Circle Palmer Hall and Market Street as a young man. All this is played on Carmichael Road. Dr. Miles and I were very close, very, very really? Close. In fact, he did the foreword to my book. Mm-hmm. He did the foreword to my book.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you're out there and you're listening, you can be. Is this on Amazon? Can you
pick it up? No, I hadn't.
So where can you pick it up?
I had it at all the bookstores. It was sold out. I didn't replenish the bookstores. Again. It's the reason why they didn't do that.
The book is called Latoya's Light.
I have a publication company that is talking to me, but I'm trying to complete my next book. My next book will be called The Audacity of Tenacity, subtitled The Trials
Audacity
of a Man.
The Audacity of Tenacity.
Yes, subtitled The Trials of a Man.
You know, I'm listening to you, and I'm listening to these stories, and I carry faith with me. I'm one of those persons who, with every one of my steps, I believe that is preordained. I believe that, right? And as I'm sitting here, as you're telling me about stories about death and tribulation that exist within your family, and you still have this sort of exuberance on you, for some reason, I don't know why you did this, but you went all the way back to when you were 6 months old and you dropping the well. And even then, your steps were ordered in preparation to lead you to where you are. What are some of the things that you're doing right now socially, locally, to carry this sort of a gift that exists on you to touch the community? I want to hear about it.
Okay. I had a medium that called me and asked me to do marketing for them, but I am not going back there. That's something that I did. I would do things from a consultant standpoint. But my primary focus, let me say, all of what I've been through, when I was with the corporation, I came to know so many business people or so many people. But it was to help me with what I was about to go through. Mm-hmm. I didn't understand those things then. But as I sat back, after my son died, I had to find ways that I can, just go back into my life to figure what was going on. Because I wasn't out of my mind, but I needed to find some things. I had to find myself then. I had to discover some things about myself. So I came to NASA. I told my wife, please allow me to go somewhere alone by myself that I can rediscover some things. And I started writing that book. What happened is that after I finished that book, I went back into my life and I rediscovered some things. And I realized that my purpose for living is to build broken people, to help build broken people. You see, in order for us to help people who are going through situation or who are going through pain, one must experience some things in order to understand other people who find themselves going through adverse circumstances. We can preach about things. We can talk about things. But unless you experience other people's pain or pain, you can't feel or you can't see other people's pain. So I know that God has allowed me to have gone through those things so that I can see and I can understand and I can feel. And in those means, I can go out and I can help people. Because if I sit down with a young man, yes, people know when you hear, or a young lady or an adult person, people know when you are sincere. They know when you feel their situation. Mm-hmm. They know that. So you can't preach this from the pulpit. And I'm surprised that a lot of pastors, they don't ask me to come and talk about certain things. Their congregation, their people are hurting those churches. They're hurting.
Yeah, the nature of our country over the past, I want to say, a few decades, maybe more than that, has been to see and act as though you don't see. There, especially with this kind of an introduction of this prosperity message, the conversation had shifted in our churches where persons would say, well, you need to dress like where you're going, act like where you're going, and not understanding that people are really carrying a significant burden, hurt, pain with them. Now, one of the things that this show is about is identifying and really having a conversation about the community that was,
mm-hmm.
and trying to find out, how do we get back to this community and camaraderie, this unity that we had, one. And secondly, being able to find out where we've lost that hope and how do we get that back in terms of revival. The conversation that we're having today with you is one that I, you know, is near and dear to me, because I often say that our governments have done so much, the founding fathers, these architects of our Constitution, who they call the architects of our Constitution and whatnot, they've worked so hard in being able to cast a vision to build the tangibles. So they build the schools, they build the water infrastructure, mm-hmm. the road, mm-hmm. this, the that, all these tangible things. But in my personal view, especially throughout the past 40, 50 years,
mm-hmm.
I've recognized that no one has done enough to build the intangibles, the spirit of a man.
Yes.
They haven't done enough. There are young children that are going to school. Let's say hypothetically, at one point, mom and them would say to you, if one of the girls say, oh, my uncle or cousin or somebody touched me, Grammy say, would your baby leave that alone? This suppression over time has broken the spirit of who we are and what our expectations are for the future. And as a result of this kind of a brokenness, the intangibles need to be focused on. But today you're talking about it. Talk to me.
Yes. Okay. Folks, I'm going to say something. A lot of people may differ with me. The Bahamas today, not everybody, we are mostly spiritually dead. That's our problem.
This is heavy what you're doing.
Okay. Spiritually dead. The reason why you mentioned 40, 50 years ago, what happened is that we start to focus on just the materialism part of life or the physical aspect of life.
Yes.
So what happened? The spiritual part was lacking. The spiritual side is lacking. From the lack of the spirit, okay, the spiritual aspect of our life, immorality, corruption, all different kinds of things creep in on us.
Mm.
So we lose sight of who we were as a people. Now, I'm going to say something.
Mm-hmm.
What happened is that years ago, we had pastors or preachers or leaders, spiritual leaders. They maybe weren't PhDs or masters or what at their craft, but they were spiritually guided. They were good enough to really hold things in play or to teach morality. But what happened is that a lot of our people are spiritual leaders. They have moved away. They are into materialism. They fall under the same three temptations that Jesus resisted. Mm-hmm. They say they preach Jesus in church, mm-hmm. but they fall right under those three temptations: the bread,
mm-hmm.
which is materialism,
mm-hmm.
the pinnacle that Christ resisted, the high steeple where Satan asked Christ to jump from, mm-hmm. there, mm-hmm. and let his angels catch him before he reached the ground to prove, mm-hmm. that he's God.
Mm-hmm.
Pride and prestige.
Mm-hmm.
He took him on the mountain and said, look here, I'll give you all the city. I'll give, mm-hmm. you this glory.
Mm-hmm.
Power.
Mm-hmm.
Those three things is what most of our spiritual leaders fall into.
You are bananas, sir. You get me.
Okay.
I like this.
They fall into those areas. So what happened is that you talk about the gospel of prosperity. What happened is that the leaders are spiritual leaders because they don't have what it takes to really speak truth to power. The duty of a spiritual leader is to speak truth to power. Because of the lack of that, we have immorality, all kind of negativity happening in our society. So they can't say anything because they are part of it. Most of them are part of it, okay? They are part of it. Because what happened is that most of them, if they're not on this side of government or that side of government, they either one side, they build these huge churches, these large churches. I know a lot can get mad, but I don't care, okay?
On Crown Land.
Yes. Crown Land to build their real estate, to get money to live, live in millionaire roles, okay? And call themselves blessed, okay? But they are full of materialism. The same people that killed Christ, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Sanhedrin, those crooks back then, that got Christ rebuked. We have those very people parading around here in these gongs, and they're here pretending to be what they ain't. Okay? Not all of them. Not all. But the majority of them. So what happened is that the young people or people see that they can't trust these people. Okay, because what happened is that they are lapped in with politics. They are politics. They are politicians, religious politicians. So they have to find themselves. They got to get back. They got to repent. They must fall on their face and repent. Okay, because let me say something. You see, Christ's grace said, look here. You see, on that day, he said, many would come and say, Master, he said, Lord, Lord, I preach in your name and I prophesied and I did this and I did that. And he would say, look here, you had your reward. Your reward, you had your reward on earth. You got everything that you need. You live your heaven on earth. So go live with your master, the devil and his angel. That's your prize. Go live. That's what you work for. Well, go there. We have to be careful. We have to be careful. Look, I have no one to fear but God himself. I fear God alone.
Well, you've been through enough, my brother.
Okay.
I got a text.
And I don't have to lie to nobody.
I got a text here and say, Howard, you got a great man in the studio. He's a very powerful man there, Mr. Johnson. He went through a lot. But for God, that's my Cat Island homeboy. These are some people that are texting in.
Thank you
to
so
talk
much.
About these particular things that do. I want to touch some things. Let me see if I can take a telephone call. Call you on the line with us live. Go ahead.
God, it is Dr. Noyce along with you, Howard.
Good afternoon, my brother.
Mr.
What's
Johnson.
Hey, how are you?
We Thank need you. Justice, law, and order in this country.
Yes.
But Howard. Hello, Howard.
I'm ready. Go ahead.
It's the reason why I called you, right? You had a show on yesterday, right?
Okay.
And it touched my heart.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
I want to thank you for helping that lady and her five children. That's all I want to say.
I appreciate you, man.
Thank you.
Thank you. And thank anyone who wants to be able to help her. Her name is Delores Morrison. She's from Fox Hill. She's a Fox Hill gal. If you want to be able to assist, a lot of persons ask me, Howard, what's Delores's number? And I was able to send that to them yesterday. That's all it's about. I don't have anything I can give her in terms of monetary finance or whatever the case may be. But I can give her sort of a voice to amplify her story, let persons know. And if you're out there and you want to be able to assist her, please give me a call, 827-0111. That's 827-0111. Her name is Delores Morrison. And she said it's about six or seven in the home, and they lost everything. She sent me a picture yesterday, and the house was down to absolute cinder. I said, well, where the house used to be? Right, so please, if you can help, please do that. And I'm really grateful for conversations like this. I'm going to be honest with you, Anthony. I really am, because a lot of people need to hear. I like to give time out to talk to politicians. I like to give time out to talk to leadership in the country. But I'm always afraid of people hitting me with the rhythm of the bullet points that existed, the rhythm of how to say this politically correct. And I'm always afraid to give space to that, because we don't need to hear more of that. People need to hear your heart, to know that you're concerned, to know that this is where your commitment is, and to know that they can lean on you during this particular time. Mm-hmm. After all that you would have gone through, my brother, after the death of your daughter, that propelled you to what I believe, and you ain't talked to me about this, but to sit down and write a book, this therapeutic position that you've had to identify and really explore some of the emotions that you've had and put that down on paper, this can be able to help a tremendous amount of people going forward.
Yes, thank you. I went to a mall in the States a few years ago, and I was doing some work with the corporation for the corporation. That's about 5 years ago, and that's in Miami, a large mall. And I sat with the general manager of that mall.
And Miami, this is the Dolphin Mall or the 163rd?
Yes, it's that. And I passed. It was a lady. I passed a copy of my book to her. I said, "Okay, so nice, Anthony." So I had arranged to go back and see her the following week. I got a call that Monday morning. She asked, "Anthony, say, where are you?" I say, "I'm heading to Miami." He said, "Could you please come by? Could you come by my office?" I said, "Okay." I said, "Give me about 30 minutes. I'll be there." So I drove to her office. When I went to her office, and I knocked on the door, she opened the door, and then I saw the tears falling down this woman's eyes, and she went and she sat down and she was shaking and she just cried. So I thought I was afraid. I said, "What happened? What did I do? What went wrong?" So she sat there for about 3 minutes and cried and cried and cried. So I said, well, then she gained the composure and she said, "Anthony, you say, I read the book that you gave to me. You say, Anthony, I've never read a book like that in my life." Mm-hmm. You say, this is like Anthony called, like he talked to me through this book. You say, like, I didn't realize anybody understood me. Listen, and she was shaking at the time she's talking to me. So she said to me, "Anthony, you say, I had one son. I just had one child, a son. He's 27 years old. See, and I love my son so much. You say, and I give him everything. And see, he's a wonderful son." He said, "But my son died." She said, "And I was a church member, and I would help people. I would do this to say, Anthony, what happened after my son died?" He said, "I got mad with God, and I stopped going to church, and I didn't want anyone to come around me. I just got angry." So she was, how could my one son, who nice son, is saying all of these children that is killing and destroying and doing all kinds of stuff, and say they're hurting and living and destroying Republican people's life. Say, how could this be? He said, "But when I read this book," he said, "this book touched me so much." She said, "Anthony," he said, "I know the place." He say, "This book," he say, "why don't you," he say, "Anthony," he say, "you, well, let us come together and put a company together." He said, "Because you need to speak to people to say we have, in the inner cities in particular, across the world, not just in the United States, the inner cities across America, but all across the Caribbean and different parts of the world, where you have a parent, a mother and father, who had a child or children died from sickness, accident, or violence." He's saying, "You are the perfect person that can speak to these people." He said, "Anthony, please." So honestly, what I did, I came back to Nassau.
Wow. Anthony, you're telling a strong story today. There's a text that came through, and you know, we got to stop for news in 2 seconds, so let me do that. It says, your guess is right on. He says, "Our people need healing from slavery, but this colonial word had blinded us as a people," right? These are texts coming through. I want to be able to read something more specifically that I started to read. I want to see if I can find it again. He started to talk about spirituality, right? He says, someone says the station is dipping, right? Let's talk about these things, guys. I want you to be able to be a part of the conversation. Please give me a call, 323-6232-325-4316, 325-4259, or hit me up with a text, 422-4796. I want to take this quick commercial break. Ladies and gentlemen, we're in the studio talking with none other than Anthony Johnson. Anthony, you got to tell us how we can get this book when we get back. You got to tell us, because you tell us all about the book now. You got people intrigued. They want to know about why this woman was crying, right? Maybe she's sensitive. But we know that you put a great deal of emotion into this book, and it was a very difficult time in your life. We want to hear more about it. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take this commercial break and be right back. Howard Grant and the Foundation, right here on Guardian Radio 96.9. Take this commercial break. Stop for news and be right back after that.
foundation. The foundation. The foundation. 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 The foundation.
The foundation. We'll be back right after this.
The foundation. The foundation. The foundation.
Tired of paying too many bills and loan payments each month?
Shrink your monthly debt payments down to one easy payment with our debt consolidation loan.
It also has a built-in savings that pays you 5% interest.
Inquire about our debt consolidation loans today.
Call 356-7764.
The Grand Bahama News is available every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian. Buy your local paper at Freeport Convenience Stores, Western Bakery, DeGregory's Fine Foods, and Bellevue Gifts. Want to reach your Grand Bahama customers? Then call Barefoot Marketing at 827-4578 or message them for ad rates via their Facebook page. Advertising opportunities now include classified ads too. Keep up with all the latest Grand Bahama news in the Nassau Guardian newspaper every Tuesday.
Guardian Radio and the Foundation are on the move.
Bahamas, this one's for you.
SBT. Small Business Thursdays. Every Thursday, the Foundation with Howard Grant will highlight small businesses throughout the country, far and wide. Your products, services, prices, and personality. We want to hear it all. Get your 30 or 60 second advertisement heard on air at a fraction of the cost. We here at the Foundation understand the times and don't want you to be left behind. With Guardian Radio, you reach your specific demographic and it is unmatched.
We reach thousands daily.
Get your products off the shelf and your services in their hearts. Small Business Thursdays with the Foundation, only on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. For more information, call 302-2300 or the Help Me Howard line at 827-0111. SBT. Small Business Thursdays. Get your business moving today.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Foundation. Foundation. The foundation. The foundation. 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 The foundation.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen, 96.9 FM Radio, Howard Grant in your company on this beautiful Wednesday right here on the Foundation, chopping it down. I know you're eager. You're mad eager. You want to have conversations about I Feel Betrayed, Toby Smith hits out at the Prime Minister, and being able to talk about those particular things. Make sure you pick up your Guardian paper. And then the Prime Minister being able to suggest that once Hannah Martin understands, in quotation mark, this is bananas. We ain't talking about this today. We're not talking about these things today. Toby has committed that he's going to be sitting with us on Friday. So we're going to get into all of this and really talk about the eviction notices down there issued in Abaco Shantytown residents. And I know that you're kind of excited about those things. But today we have Anthony Johnson in the house with us, being able to talk to us about a book that he's written and more specifically about the position that he's taken in terms of always being optimistic and moving in the direction that God has called him to move. We're sitting with his book is called LaToya's Light, A Gift of Love, Faith, and Courage. But he's telling us of a story, you know, that's familiar to us, the trials and tribulation. And sometimes it feels heavy. And so I'm asking him, where does this kind of zeal and optimism come from? This kind of exuberance that comes off of you that people can feel so passionately. Where does that come from after this brokenness? Ladies and gentlemen, my guest, like I said, is none other, if you're just tuning in, none other than Anthony Johnson. Now, I want to read one or two of these texts, guys. Please send me some texts. 422-4796, or hit me up on the telephone line, 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. I want to read this. He says, well, I don't see any evidence of the existence of any spiritual phenomenon, so I'm okay with us being spiritually dead. What is never in existence can never die. This is what a text comes in and says. This feels sort of an atheistic perspective with this devoid idea entirely of spirituality. Tell us about this journey, because this journey of spirituality started before your cognitive sense actually came into play, all the way back when you were 6 months old, this prayer that was over you. Talk to us about your spiritual journey and make us to understand whether or not, or how we as a people are spiritually dead.
We, in this country, the Bahamas, what happened is that, like I said before, materialistic stuff is good. It's good. God create man. Man make things, or let's say man create things. Things didn't create man. So, if we were to go out there, and if we think that, okay, if I get, that's the materialistic aspect of life, things in life then, everything is fine. No, we can go out there, we can get everything, and still, our life wouldn't be fulfilled. We need to have the other side, the spiritual awakening, the spiritual side of us, to really complete us as human. We are both spirit and we are physical, okay? So we have to combine both of those things together. The reason why a lot of the vast majority of our young people, they are doing everything except the right thing, reaping havoc in our society. It's because they are searching for something. You see, when you have that spiritual side of you, it guides you. That's your guidance to life. Mm-hmm. That's your moral compass to life. Mm-hmm. And without that, it's difficult for you to find out really what you came here to do. Your purpose then. You realize that you have so many people, all of us, every single one of us, were created with something inside of us. Mm-hmm. Our gifts and talents. But what happened? Because most of us don't know how to find those things, because the spiritual side of us is void. Okay? It's left out. All we think about is the materialistic part of life, so we yearn to get these things. And if you don't have that spiritual side of you to really bring balance to your life, you would go out there and do anything to get whatever you, because all you want to do is get it.
Well, what do you think that comes from? Because it couldn't. Okay, let me tell you this, and I've never really said this like this. I've never structured this like this. I'm gonna be honest with you, but I'm about to say it now. When I was young, my uncles would say I was a bad boy, right? Mm-hmm. And I couldn't understand what that means. I like to say I was very curious, mm-hmm. right? My father bought me a watch one time. My mother bought me a watch. And my curiosity in trying to fix a brand new watch, mm-hmm. how did this thing tick? I destroyed the entire watch. I destroyed my grandmother. She said, Jesus Christ, boy, your fingers, D-E-S, and she called the whole thing, all right? And because of that, I told cut hip as a result of it. Uh-huh. And it was only my inquisitive nature, I needed to know more about these things. And as a result of that, I got some cut hip. But I couldn't understand. My father was one who would discipline you, but not necessarily explain to you. Mm-hmm. And so in my search for an explanation as to why I gained a relationship with God. Talk to me. I was a little boy, 5 years old, praying to myself, praying to God. 5 years old, 4 years old. I can remember, right? And so the tribulation of my life at that time and throughout my life, whenever I quest or seek information, right, every time I get cut hip, I would go into this space and cry out for more answers, for for an understanding. It built something in me. You could possibly hear that because how this fella could talk like an old man because of wisdom, knowledge, and understanding from as a child.
Yes.
Okay, now watch me. But it had to come from an inflection and a point. I couldn't just know about God. I had to be introduced to a God.
Yes.
So my mommy then took me to church, but it was an introduction into religion. But my tribulation pushed me into a relationship with God. So my question to you is, how do young men and women going through trial and tribulation find themselves on the outskirts of religion, but in the inner courts of relationship with God? How? How do they find themselves if they've never been formally introduced even to the sphere of this? How do we as a people get into the hearing and say, this is a course that you should take? By example, this is what happened to me. This is what you could expect if you take this particular course. Talk to me about it.
Well, what happened is that a lot of young people, because they never had some a parent, a caring parent, or let's say a concerned parent in their home, or adults to help them when they were younger. They were left on their own. They never went to church, or they never had anybody to sit down and tell them what is right or wrong. They just grew up on their own. But they find themselves where they, now adults or young adults, and faced with all different kinds of situations. They are searching for something. They are looking for something. They are looking for answers. They look and they see certain people are there doing so well or living such a way. Their yearning is to do good. But because they don't know how to really reach that point in their life because they don't have that spiritual balance. So what happens is that sometimes, you know, those young men in prison or those young men on the blocks, because they don't understand certain things. They see so many things around them or so much confusion. They don't know why certain things is happening in their life. But if they find the right people who can sit down and help explain some things to them, help show them some things, help them to understand why certain things is happening, and show them the values that lies within them, that they are so important to this world. They are important to this world. Now, you know, sometimes we see these young people or we see people and we throw them away. We throw them aside. You can't throw people aside because everybody have value. Everybody's everybody worth something. Every soul is important.
I can put some stuff there on the table for you because this is a very diverse audience that we're speaking to now. These a great deal of persons are traveled, experienced, well-read, well-versed in a great deal of the things that they travail. I believe that this is the space here at Guardian Radio 96.9 where we can identify the concept come to life in its tangible form of study to show yourself approved. There's a great deal of persons that are studied who listen, so I always enjoy engaging them the way that I do. And in the midst of our texts, a lot of persons will be able to not necessarily reject what you're saying, but they want to push back because they want to go a little bit deeper with the conversation. It's a text that came through. It says, how does your guest explain why 95% of the convicts are religious and grew up in church? And why the church and God has done such a horrible job in creating good people? And they started to talk about atheists don't go around shooting people. So talk to us about this concept of, because I think I've touched it, this concept of religion and relationship, right? So talk to me about what are your views on what causes a man after being exposed, a man or woman, after being exposed to religiosity, to take on a course
that empowers him or herself? Talk to me about it.
Well, let me.
You're laughing, but I tell you, these people can push back.
No, that person is completely right. They're right. They're completely right. Honestly, because let me be honest with you. Me, I was a person in church throughout my life, okay? My family, my young family, my life was God family work, okay? But after I find myself, and I try to be good to people, okay? I try to be as best as I can, nice as I can to people. But I find myself going through all of this struggle. All of this, I say, wow. And I was in church paying my tithes and listen to this and certain things I hear. But honestly, certain things that I was, I don't believe it. I must be honest with you. Now, let's be honest. A lot of people are turning away from the church because of double standard. They discover some things. The people that they look up to, that they thought was this and thought was that, they find that.
I think double standard is a cute way of saying corruption.
Yes. Okay.
It's a politically correct, acceptable, palatable way of saying corruption.
Yes. Because I talk to a lot of young people, not just young people, and they say, well, I don't go to church. They say, I'm the church. I don't need to go to no church.
Yeah, because that's the first thing they say. We use the church.
Yes.
Why we get to go?
Okay, right. Me personally, being in the States.
I didn't want you calling me Dwight on the radio.
Sorry, Mr. Howard.
Please
forgive me. I don't know why I'm saying that, but please forgive me. Over 10, 12 years ago, I stopped going to church. I'm in the States. My wife, Anthony, let's go to
church. You stopped going to church?
Yes.
After Jesus saved you when you were 6 months?
Yes, I stopped going to church.
You need to stop it.
No, it's the reason why.
Go get me here this now.
It's the reason why, because I say, why is it? Why would I go through all of this problem? I try to be nice I try to be a nice person. I say, but look at my life. I say, church is not, I went to church and I was doing everything. I was paying. My pastor used to call me the best tithers in his church. Mm-hmm. I was a young guy, but I was serving the church financial governing board. Mm-hmm. I was. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I look at these things and I say, boy, and I step aside because I wanted to look and see exactly what was it all about. And I discovered some things. Honestly, I discovered some things. But what I did. Let me say something. I'm going to tell you. Listen, I know I would get back into it, but a few months ago, I was invited to a church, and I went there. They had this anniversary, and
right here in Nassau.
In Nassau, it's a church that I used to go to, and I was. The guest pastor that came in, I was so impressed with him.
Tell us what the man's name. Go ahead.
Let me see if I want to be certain about it. Let me be certain about his name. I'm going to tell you right now. Devon, I think Mr. Devon, Ambassador Devon Roll.
Okay.
Am I?
That's my
right?
good friend. He always
said Ambassador Devon Roll. Mm-hmm. I was very impressed with him. Mm-hmm. I listened to his message and how he curtailed his message to. Really, it gravitated in my mind then, okay? He was so impressive to me, mm-hmm. What he said. I pulled him aside and I said, please, can I have your telephone number? And he gave it to me and I called him the other day. The next day, we talked for about a few hours well. Mm-hmm. And I told him I'll come and visit the church. Mm-hmm. I went to his church. And I sit down, I observe.
Mm-hmm. And the plaza in Palmdale.
Yeah, in Palmdale. Mm-hmm. And man, I love what he's doing in his church. He is helping his people. Mm-hmm. He's embellishing the minds of his people. Mm-hmm. He's doing things to empower his people. Mm-hmm. He's not just grabbing people money and just living a big life of people money. Mm-hmm. He is helping his people financially and spiritually, or materially and spiritually. Mm-hmm. And this is what pastors should be doing. Mm-hmm. How could you have people in your church for years and years and years? And I mean, nothing is up. The people aren't growing.
They're broke.
Unbroken. And you every Monday morning, you go and put so much money up in the bank and you live in a good life. Mm-hmm. But your people are sketching hell.
Mm-hmm. And then they beat you over your head and pay your tithe.
Yes, and if you ain't pay your tithe, you're not going to be blessed. Mm-hmm.
Well, I know pastors each itching to kind of give us a call. Guys, give me a call, 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, mm-hmm. or hit me up with a text, 422-4796. I see a telephone call coming in. That's a call coming in. Let me take this telephone call. Caller, you're on the line with us live. Go ahead.
How are you doing?
I'm good, Matt.
Good afternoon. That's a good guest, yeah. You mind? I talk about the church.
They're good when they talk about the church, don't you?
I just made money. My blessings come from helping the young boy buy them books, giving people jobs, giving people food, teaching my skills. The church, see, particularly in the Bahamas, see, we know the part of one clown on taxi plate and bus plate. You want to be me? People know. See, I entitled taxi plate and bus plate. And I like what the woman did the last time. I'm seeing the moxie. They may be saying, but she did the right thing. Flood the market. Mm-hmm. I will never pay a pastor or politician $500 a month to get a taxi or bus. I tell you that by law.
See,
them judge up. See, all this crime line stuff, we can take it back from the people you know. We can name and shame the people you know. All these wicked people who bought a house, building up and buying the Bahamas our money and talking, they can put it back. And the school guarantee loan, they can put this money back, you know. All these people doing wrong in this country, how, what, we can name and shame them. This one the house. And I thought how the W department said, they put the break them in some long time. But we'll probably talk on the people. Be playing and see, this country needs to progress. And the church is a failure in this country. Nobody listen to the church. They ain't got no credibility. I'm going to take my call.
Mm. I appreciate you, my brother. Thank you so much for calling, guys. You know who the numbers are. Give us a call. Let me read another text. This is Howard. Preach, my brother. It's an pastor collection plate. Are you ready to give? Howard is a strong man. I remember his ordeal with his children. I followed him and I cried when he lost his children. He is a real kingdom man. There's some text coming through.
Thank you. Howard, can I say this, please?
Go ahead.
Now, I'm not speaking about, I'm not talking about all the churches, all the pastors, because you have some beautiful pastors in this country, some beautiful ones. But a lot of them, a lot of pastors need to really check themselves out. Me, myself, too. I know, I'm not a perfect man. Okay, you know, and none of us are.
I did a show and I had a few pastors call me and there is this social, I want to say a veil. There's a fraternity that exists beyond the radio.
Mm-hmm.
Watch me. Modern people, they use a colloquial term that we identify and understand it very clearly. They're cliques.
Mm-hmm.
There are specific cliques in this country in every subsector, whether that be government, whether that be political, whether that be religious. There are cliques that exist here.
Yes.
And anytime you have these kind of taboo conversations that's transparent, a lot of persons will try to be able to reach out and say, hey, listen, you shouldn't have said that. Why would you have said this? And boom, 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 so forth and so on. But this sentiment that exists that says, we have greater expectation from our men and women of the cloth. It's a sentiment that exists in their churches.
Mm-hmm,
talk
mm-hmm,
to me.
Mm-hmm.
Let's be very clear about this.
Mm-hmm.
This sentiment is not only, it's spoken of on radio talk shows such as this one and others, but it is a sentiment that exists in the church. It is a sentiment that while you're sitting at the pew, you dissect what the pastor say against what the pastor does, right?
Mm-hmm.
And while you're seeing those things, you hear from a religious standpoint, sitting in church because you feel as though this is a duty to God, but your participation is not in there.
No.
You don't have, and you still will text the show and call the show and say, how would I agree with this person? I agree with that, so forth and so on. So the question I have is this, and I had this very beautiful conversation with Ruby Ann Darling, right? Ruby Ann Darling Cooper,
lady.
When she started to talk about the contribution of the church and what the church did before 1973, before 1967, before independence, the church was the forerunner, the leader in our community that truly empowered blacks.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
When this was the over the hill,
yes,
they empowered blacks.
Mm-hmm.
They gave an opportunity. You found your house, you built your house from the church. When you didn't have anything to eat, you go to the church would get, would take care of you. When you needed shelter, when you needed opportunity, if the man beaten on you, so forth and so on, the church was a refuge.
Mm-hmm.
Now the church, for the most part, don't even know the community, right? Okay. But I want to take a commercial break. Ladies and gentlemen, be a part of the conversation. 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. Or hit me up on the text, 422-4796. Let's talk about these things. I'm going to take this quick commercial break and be right back after this.
Foundation. The foundation.
We'll be back right after this.
At Popeyes, get the chicken sandwich you love,
but make it blackened.
Marinated in Popeyes blackened seasoning, that is. Our new juicy filet is fried to perfection without the breading, served on a toasted brioche bun. Try it today as a combo or a la carte. Don't forget to choose your level of spice today at any one of our three locations.
Love that chicken from Popeyes.
Guardian Radio and the Foundation are on the move.
Bahamas, this one's for you.
SBT. Small Business Thursdays. Every Thursday, the Foundation with Howard Grant will highlight small businesses throughout the country, far and wide. Your products, services, prices, and personality. We want to hear it all. Get your 30 or 60 second advertisement heard on air at a fraction of the cost. We here at the Foundation understand the times and don't want you to be left behind. With Guardian Radio, you reach your specific demographic and it is unmatched.
We reach thousands daily.
Get your products off the shelf and your services in their hearts. Small Business Thursdays with the Foundation, only on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. For more information, call 302-2300 or the Help Me Howard line at 827-0111. SBT. Small Business Thursdays. Get your business moving today.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Foundation. The foundation. The foundation. 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 The foundation. The foundation. The foundation. The foundation. The foundation.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen, 96.9 FM radio, Howard Grant and your company right here, being able to chomp it down on the foundation on this beautiful Wednesday. Today, a very special guest in studio with me, Anthony Johnson, being able to have a conversation not just about a book that he's an author, he's an executive, he's a motivational speaker. He's doing so much. And today we're just having a conversation about what needs to happen going forward. Anthony, I thank you so much for being able to join me. Now, when we last was on before the commercial break, we started to talk more specifically about the church and its contribution to the nation. I think a lot of us don't take into consideration the fact that the church has been an integral part of our communities for far too long, right? We don't take into consideration, and I don't think we feel the significant effect after 1973. I want to say after 1980s, we haven't really felt the effect of the church and its contribution, participation, and its presence in our community, because we've yielded so much to the government, at the feet of the government. If you want help, go to the government, go to your MP, go to this one. And the pastor, in their particular capacity, has lost the sort of the community, the touch with the community itself. I have a couple of stories about those things, but I don't want the people cuss me out today. Now, let's talk about these things. Because of those things, what do you think would needs to be done now to get ourselves back in alignment in terms of our spiritual walk and being able to see the country move forward, upward, onward together?
What happened, Dwight, is that we have so many different churches, so many individual churches, so many of them. And, you know, a whole lot of them are preaching different things, different messages. This one, I don't understand. What happened is that you talk about the churches back then. You know, those people, those men and women, they were spiritually led. Those people had conscience. They loved and they care about the people. That's why they did everything they can to enlighten their people. A church, the duty of a church is to enlighten the people, to inform, and enlighten the people spiritually. You're supposed to find ways that you can help embellish the lives of your people. You have your people in church. You know, you want to see that your people, advance in every area, not just from a physical standpoint, but from, you know, a spiritual, in every area. You want to see them grow. We're supposed to grow together. You know, when, look at our country. Look at the suffering in our country. Look at the deprivation in our country. Look at what's going on. Look at what be allowed to happen.
I want to touch something with you, because when you start to talk about growing together, something happened in this country. And I just go with me for 2 seconds. Mm-hmm. Go with me for 2 seconds. Prior to 1973. Prior to 1967, there was a very clear understanding in our communities that there was segregation. It was us against them.
Yes.
It was over the hill against the oligarchs, the whites, so forth and so on, and everybody else was over the hill.
Mm-hmm.
The churches and the body of Christ that existed here understood this proverbial exodus that needed to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So the messages were all on point. And this is when the community did the heavy lifting.
Mm-hmm.
This message that the POP carries is a message that the church carried, right? They wiped every tear from every eye. They mm-hmm. did the heavy lifting. This is what the church did,
mm-hmm.
right? When the POP got in after 67, today is actually the birthday of our first prime minister.
Mm-hmm.
Of the Bahamas,
mm-hmm.
right? Sir Lyndon Oscar Pinden, mm-hmm. he is definitely being able to do these things, right? So let's talk about this. Now, after the PLP would have gotten in, after we would have been able to receive instruments for independence and being able to be identified as the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, some things have shifted. The oligarchs' faces shift, but their power retained within the walls of the country. And it was given to black men. But the power was too enormous for just politicians.
Mm-hmm.
It was spread equally to preachers.
Mm-hmm.
The plight then did not just be that politicians had this power. So the new colonial or the new masters that
mm-hmm.
we have
mm-hmm.
became both preachers and politicians
mm-hmm.
who fed us the exact same message
mm-hmm.
of being able to get up, but the church, not all of them now,
mm-hmm.
for the most part, mm-hmm. the church turned their back and leaned more on the government to be able to find the support and find themselves in this particular position. A lot of things have happened in this country, and I don't think we're having a very clear conversation about it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we're being honest enough to talk about some of the pain that we've endured as Bahamians. next generational post-traumatic stress disorder that's poured down and passed down to us as a result of what the church, what our politicians has done to us. Talk to me.
Wow. You're completely right. Let's look at this. Every Monday morning, the church deposited money in these commercial banks. Every Monday morning. The banks use those money to lend it to our people for mortgages, homes, cars, or whatever, vacation, and charges a high interest, a form of slavery again, okay, enslavement. Imagine the hundreds of, let's say millions of dollars that they collect every Sunday or every month and deposit in those banks. If the church would find ways to invest that money in their people in this country to do things to build these communities, like how you have the credit unions and stuff like that, to build that you don't have to go and borrow it for a house or for a car or for a business or encourage
the people. But like I tell you, the church can't do that. Let me tell you why the church can't do that. The church has an obligation based upon internal relationships with politicians, internal relationships, to ensure that they can keep these particular things afloat. In fact, some churches have direct affiliation with certain lending institutions to ensure that you could be funneled through them. That's just what it is. There is a web, a system designed to be able to keep us in a particular position. This is an empowerment
you
anymore.
You are completely right.
This is an empowerment anymore.
You are
now,
right.
I won't call nobody names and make it seem as though I'm bringing it down, but let's just be very clear. We can see. My eyes are wide open with this thing. My eyes are wide open. I can see this. Let me read one of these texts. This is great show, Howard. I don't really agree with the last statement, the sentence before the commercial break, when you said, and I quote, "The church do not know the community." Some churches do. I can speak for my church. We do a walkabout in the community religiously. That's heavy what you say. You said religiously. Okay, I ain't gonna fight you. Provide groceries, and we also have a homeless ministry. The churches are doing a whole lot. The good Lord knows. I accept what you're saying. I ain't gonna fight you. In fact, you should have really tell us what your church name so persons could be able to support your church and possibly show up for a visitor on Sunday. But these are some things that needs to be done. Howard, you see the churches do not broadcast everything they do. Okay, I accept that. We're not going to be able to fight those particular things. It's Howard, I'm shocked to see that the absence of the prime minister and his wife frontlined at the ministries for the National General Conventions of many of these churches, especially on East Street. And certainly Sir Lyndon, who never missed, he said, whether he was PM or not, Ingham and Christie similarly make sure that they were present. These are some things that are being able to come nowadays. Says, Howard, you are wrong. The church did not turn away. The church turned to the government. Where do taxi plates, crown land, and broad positions come from? This is heavy stuff. Guys, please give me a call, 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. And you know what? I think that this is sort of a proverbial shaking up for all those in various subsectors of both the politics and pastoral position in this country. If you are offended when there is a proverbial rock thrown into the crowd and you scream out, ouch, then maybe you should check some things. Mm-hmm. Maybe you should check some things in your organization.
You know, Howard, yes, some churches that is doing some beautiful work out there, some wonderful work out there. Some churches are doing some good things out there. And honestly, I have nothing against the church. I love God. I love Him. And I love people. When I see pastors who do it, I love it. You have some beautiful pastors. But I must say that some pastors are proud. They are lifted up. Some of them are on this high horse. Some of them are lifted up on this high horse.
But that's where the people put them.
Okay? They think that they are
gods. That's where the congregation put them.
Okay? And a lot of churches, people worship the pastors.
Yes.
Let's be real about it, okay?
Yes, I know.
They in church, they prophesying and doing all it, but they worshiping the pastor.
Mm-hmm.
Let's be, worship God and God alone.
Mm-hmm.
God and God alone, not man.
Mm-hmm.
Man that, look here, a man that bleed blood like me, that drink water like me, that whatever, do everything like me, that breathe like me. You are man, you are not God. So why should I fear you? I respect you, but I don't fear you.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I fear God alone. Mm-hmm. Okay? And let me say something to you. It doesn't matter how intelligent you are. It doesn't matter what level of degree you have. It doesn't matter what social status you have financially, whatever's what. The fact is, I want you to remember, you're going to die. Mm-hmm. You will die and you will leave whatever you have behind here. Mm-hmm. Let me say something to you. Look, for me, you can be as wealthy as hell. Mm-hmm. Okay, or what people would deem successful because you have money or this and that. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you how I measure success. I measure success like this. Dwight, if you is a man, if you have millions of dollars, you have all the influence in the world, that is good. But if you don't know how to help make other people around you, build other people around you, you mean nothing. Your wealth means nothing. Mm-hmm. To go there and have all that money and lay in the bank and say, oh, I'm the richest man in the bank, or I'm the... We have a lot of behemoths, black behemoths who have plenty of money. But yes, they would show a little thing or this and that to one, but they're not going to go out there and say, look here, we have young people, or we have people that are they're struggling that is brilliant, that really can, if you were to give them a little, not give them a hand, not give them, but help them to accomplish some of their goals, some of their objectives, okay?
That was the thinking prior to independence. That was the thinking. This was the thinking This was the thinking of the architects of our country. There was a desire to be able to help us. There is the former prime minister's book, Visions, he started to talk more specifically about being able to create more than 1,000 millionaires in this country, right? If you read the book, right? Mm-hmm. All right, and let me read a text. It says, very powerful show today, Howard, and pastors. There is sin within the leadership of the church. We need to expose them and cause them to repent or go to hell with Satan.
Yes.
It's a text that's coming through. He says, awake, Bahamas, and seek righteousness and live eternally. Repent, Bahamas, now, and truly turn and believe in Jehovah God Almighty. Selah, from the mayor of Grand Bahama, the Rudy Stubbs. Rudy, what's up, my brother? Hope all is well with you. Let me see if I can read this. He says, Howard, you don't know the history. The Church of God of Prophecy in the 40s to 70s had a special rate with Kellys so that their members wishing to get married could get reasonably priced homes in the Coconut Grove areas. You deliberately gargled the below. Read it again, please. Okay. So I don't understand what you're saying with this one. It says, Howard, I was so shocked to see the absence of the Prime Minister, his wife, and the frontline ministers. We said that. You're not going to fight me to do this thing twice, right? So there's another text that comes. She says, stones only hit the right target. Churches that are ministries are not checking for naysayers and professional victims who play games. Let me take a telephone call. Oh, let's go to commercial break and then take these telephone calls. Guys, you know what to do. Give us a call, 323-6232, 325-4315, 325-4316, or hit me up on the text, 422-4796. This is Howard Grant of the Foundation, here with Anthony Johnson, really being able to talk about where we are as a nation. When we get back, let's talk about some solutions. Let's talk about how do we take this step forward to find our purpose and really fulfill that kind of a call that we have here in this particular life. Let's take a quick commercial break and be right back, guys, after this.
The Foundation.
The Foundation. We'll be back right after this.
The Foundation.
On your marks.
Karifta is almost here, and Alive has partnered with TCL for you to capture gold at the 2023 Karifta Games. Switch to Alive and get a free TCL 30 Plus or TCL 30 SE on select Alive postpaid plans to share pictures and videos of our Bahamian athletes as they hit the tracks to win gold. Visit your nearest Alive store or mobile van location and come gold with us at the 2023 Karifta Games.
My business couldn't survive without my credit card machine from Fidelity.
It's fast, convenient, and my clients love it.
My sales increase, and I can track my earnings.
Get your credit card machine from Fidelity today.
Call 356-7764. Fidelity.
July, August, September.
Bimbi, what on earth are you doing now with all those red X's on the calendar?
I verified in person for my NIB pension today, so I'm crossing out all the months until I have to verify again.
Oh, yeah. By law, we are required to verify twice a year, in our birth months and then again 6 months later. It's important so we can continue to receive our benefit payments.
Yes, the friendly lady at NIB reminded me that the verification forms are available online at select retail locations and that you don't even have to verify in person. Once a sanctioned authority certifies your form, it can be emailed to verification@nib-bahamas.com or placed in the Dropbox at any NIB location.
NIB is making everything so convenient. The verification process is simple, and it's all outlined on NIB's website and social media pages. At NIB, they're making it easier for you.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Foundation. Foundation.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen, 96.9 FM Radio. Howard Grant and your company, The Foundation. In this last 10 minutes of the show, I thought this was a very invigorating show, and I thought that we should be able to lay out all sides of the spectrum. A lot of persons support the church, understands exactly what the church's contribution is, and this is not to be able to belittle the church or diminish their contribution to our society and what they did in terms of developing it over the years, but this is being able to say our here and now, the position that exists at this time. There can be some scrutiny that leads to some readjusting and rejuvenation to see our communities move in a particular direction. Let's take a telephone call. Caller, you on the line with us live. Go ahead.
Hey, how are you doing?
I'm good, man. What's happening?
Okay. You know, if you want to understand the church and politics in the country, you know, there are two distinct, you know, things. Before 1967, it's about what the church did.
Mm-hmm.
After 1968, it's about what the church allowed.
That is banana. I got to write this down. Before 67 is about what the church did. After 68 is about what they allowed. Wow. That is crazy.
Yes, after we, came out of Egypt, led by our Moses, we took on the mannerisms of our oppressors.
Yes. Yes. Okay, yes.
That's what we call neocolonialism.
Yes. Okay. Yes.
You know. Anyway, your mom. Yeah. Anyway, your mom. Hello, Mr. Ferguson.
It's Mr. Johnson. He's sitting with me, Anthony Johnson. Johnson. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Thank you. Hey, how are you?
Who's with Ernest, right?
No, I'm not with I'm not with Ernest anymore. I used to be there.
I know,
Thank you.
I know.
Thank you so much. And you are wow. You are
way back in the day.
Yeah, man, you were spot on today. I appreciate your telephone call, my brother. Thanks so much for your contribution. We got a couple minutes before you get out of here, but I'm still writing this down. Before 67, it's about what the church did. And I underline did. After 67, after 68, he says, it's about what the church allowed.
Yes.
Isn't that crazy?
That's heavy.
Talk to me about it. I mean, do you believe, and that's the first time I've heard it like that, structured in that particular manner. Do you believe that this is what, as a result, 67, even up to this point, is that indirectly indicating a lot of what we've suffered, a lot of what we've gone through is as a result of the church allowing this?
Allowing it, yes.
My God.
Allowing it, okay? So we got to get back to basic. Okay, we have to look at what is happening in our country today. We must look at what is going on in our country today. And we have to make a stand. We cannot continue to move in the same direction that we are going. We have to find a way to stop, analyze, and move in a new direction. Because look at the young men in our country. Just look at our young men. The young, they are the strength of our country. They are our strength. But what we are doing, we're doing nothing to help them. Nothing to help these. When I say, Lord, please forgive me. Most of the young men, they need attention. We need to give them some attention. We need to find a way we can reach them. Yes, we have some decent, some good men in our country, but the vast majority of them they have gone astray. We have to find a way to pull them back. They feel as if they're not wanted. It's no need for them to really step in and step up. We have to show them the value that is inside of them. We have to find a way that we can show them, look here, you have a purpose. There's a purpose for your life.
But it seems as though, and this is a heavy conversation that we're getting into today. I must tell you the truth, because it seems as though both the church and the politician has rejected the young man. And so it feels as though, right? We've had this kind of a superficial approach to being able to deal with some stuff.
Yes.
But the intangibles that we talked about, the spirit of a man, that broken spirit that has not been touched, we don't see any of our leaders taking on this particular approach.
Wow.
I want to read this text. It says, good day, Howard. Great show. I heard your guess. My question is, if I leave my church, then what's next? What am I to do at that particular point? Talk to me about what you would have done in those 12 years.
No, look, what happened is that I was going through some things trying to figure out, I look at the church and I see some things. I saw some things that I know. Some things wasn't as I thought it should be. Mm-hmm. So I had a chance to back out and to look from outside to see exactly what approach, what is it that I can do when I were to step back? How can I help make an impact on people? What can I do to help people? Because I believe that we are there to help people, not to push people away, but to help and build people.
I had a similar experience. I've stayed afar off from the internal working of church and just went to be fed by God to listen to the word.
Uh-huh.
And as soon as you find yourself wrapped up in the inner workings of church, you get back into church politics and you said, my God, this cannot be why we're here.
Exactly.
This cannot be why I'm here. This cannot be what we're doing here. And it doesn't matter. It seems as though it's across the board, this kind of an idea of how you do church.
Exactly.
That's just crazy.
Dwight, about 4 Mondays ago, I sat with the Minister of Social Service, Minister Wilshkin. I sat with him. We had a good meeting. He asked me to come to his office. I went there. We sat. We had a good meeting. And he said to me, Anthony, you see, I have 11 shelters under my ministry. You see, Anthony, I know you from ZNS. I work with you. Listen, I saw the work you did at the corporation, and I saw how you dealt with your family situation throughout the years. Anthony, I saw those things, how you have developed. You say, Anthony, I know that you have what it takes to help those young people, not just young people, but people from his shelters. So he said, I want you to step in at some of these shelters.
So we can expect
girls,
you to be working with social services.
The girls' industrial school. The boys, the rentally home for children, the old folks' homes, and so forth. I was happy.
So we can expect you to be working with social services.
I don't know. But what I'm doing, I have a proposal. Mm-hmm. I now went back to him. Mm-hmm. I said, let me put a plan together.
Mm-hmm.
The plan doesn't entail everything.
I think you got to come back, man. This is the last 2 minutes of the show. We got to come back and be able to have conversations like this. I want to say to you, your message today, your endurance, your commitment, your faith, your optimism, your hope, and this perpetual desire and spirituality speaking to the Bahamian people is a very strong position. We continue to be able to pray for you for the loss of both your children. I know you say you've got 4 kids, but the 2 middle ones have passed away as a result of cancer. And you started to talk about the vaccine. When we come back, we can talk about vaccines, right? But we had good conversation today. I want to thank you so very kindly. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank you for participating and being able to contribute to these particular things. It says, let me see if I can read this last text. says, good afternoon, Howard. You are on point 100%. This is what our country needs, the religious leaders and politicians was running away from this for years. We're having a conversation, man. I'm having a very good time. Tomorrow is going to be Small Business Thursday. So as we wrap up, I want to say to you, if you want to be able to be a part of that, I want to give you my numbers out so you can be able to give me a call. And we can still be able to do that for you in the spirit of your last minute nature out there. 827-0111. 827-0111. Make sure if you want to do anything with college, go down to AIM Online Institute at St. Andrews this evening at 6:30 tonight to be able to get more information on how to get your kids in college 2023 and prepare them to be able to move on into the future. Anthony Johnson, I thank you so much. This month, 16th time he called me Dwight on the show. Dwight, I hope you're here. Dwight is not as handsome as Howard. Stop it. He may be a little bit slimmer than me, but he a little darker. But he, you know, stop it, right?
I apologize for that.
Don't worry about it, man. It's been a great show. I thank you so very kindly. Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to stick and stay for Shivago Lying with Z Live right after this. We can see you tomorrow right here on Guardian Radio 96.9, The Foundation with Howard Grant. Have a great day. Great gates, guys.
The Foundation. The Foundation. The Foundation.
The Foundation. This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.